Hello, everybody. This is our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Caroline.
Yes, together we are Jeff and Caroline. This is a podcast about music, about alternative music, about bands that are a little bit on the quirky side.
About stupid-ass bullshit this week.
this is I Hate Music Month. I hate music. This is a month devoted to bands that only one of us likes. And this week, it's my band. Last week, I wasted very good hours of my life that I'll never get back again listening to Captain Beefheart. And this week, I am returning that favor by forcing Caroline to listen to even more Swans.
Oh, God.
The Swans, and here to help me talk about Swans and to defend them, I suppose, is podcast favorite, fan favorite, Andrew Dust Devil.
Howdy, y'all. I don't really know if I'm a fan favorite, but...
You're a fan favorite.
Oh, please.
It's great to be back here on the internet.
we're back on the internet. We're here on the internet talking to you, also on the internet, about some Swans.
Swans.
And
you know, I know you guys like to use that little clip of I hate music, it's got too many notes. Swans could use a few more notes.
There are not enough notes.
I would agree. I would also say that Swans are stupid bullshit. I'm sorry if you like them, but you've been bamboozled. It's all a facade.
Okay, so here's the thing about Swans is that...
They're terrible.
First of all, when we're talking about... Swans are like, really, they're three or four different bands over the course of their whole career. I'm guessing...
They're like ogres. Swans have layers. There's different layers of Swans.
They're right.
Exactly like Shrek.
Right. They are like parfaits, ogres, and onions.
Can you imagine if the Shrek soundtrack just, like, you know,
had some swans? what swan song do you see on the Shrek soundtrack?
I just said, Butcher. Goddamn the sun.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Butcher.
Butcher.
Power for power.
All right.
We're
drastically changing the tone of the Shrek movies by doing this, I would say. But
are we?
They're pretty dark.
Much like Swans, Shrek is a brutal, brutal slog.
Well, you know what? Swans is all about, or a lot about, like, dehumanization and how humans only relate to other humans to the extent that they can get something out of them. Mm-hmm. At least early Swans is that. Definitely on Cop, it's that. Isn't Shrek kind of the same thing?
Pretty much.
I suppose you could say that. Yes, it's a movie about abuse of power.
Absolutely,
comes as no surprise. And
yes,
only Shrek is a lot smarter than Michael Jira ever has been.
So. I would agree.
And look, here's the thing about Swans. They're kind of embarrassing. I get that. Like, you know, like, as I'm about to sit here and probably argue with you about them for the next, you know, 90 minutes or so, but. Trust me, I'm aware that Swans are a stupid band. Like, I think to be a fan of Swans, you have to kind of acknowledge that they are a ridiculous band.
People,
especially now,
is the thing.
Especially now.
Yeah.
People, like, take Swans very seriously, though.
They do, but...
They're wrong.
I mean, I don't know that a lot of people do. I mean, I think...
They,
like,
do.
I've met enough, like, I've talked to enough people that do to, like, have that impression. Not everybody's,
think,
like you, Jeff.
I think that, like, my whole background with Swans is that, you know, I'd always heard their name and I've always liked their music, but I'm like the only person I know who is like Swans who is not, like, I don't know, just obsessed with Swans. People I know who are into Swans, they like nothing else.
Well, I'm definitely not obsessed with
Frank
Swans.
Zappa of, like...
Noise rock?
Well, they're not even noise. It's, like, stupid, bad goth music.
For goth music to be good, it has to be stupid. That's just a ground rule.
I don't think Susie and the Banshees are stupid.
It's pretty stupid. Have you heard Peekaboo? Have you heard Peekaboo? That's a stupid song.
You raise a good point.
It's a great song, but it's stupid.
We also could have called this Hot Takes Month.
Hot Takes. Well, so far I've managed to find a lyric for the theme of each month that we've done. So I want to keep with that. Maybe we'll. I don't know. I can't
change it now. We're already in it.
Well, I have some other ideas for theme months that I have no idea what I'm going to do as far as that goes. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Sure.
You know, so like I said before, Swans are really probably like several different bands over the course of their career.
All bad.
I've tried to pick like an album from each of their periods to talk about here to try and give like a good overview of what they're about, I think.
Yeah. And Caroline, let me get this straight. Do you not like Swans?
They're just like, I don't even really have anything to say about them because they're just so boring.
Really?
They're so boring to me. And like a lot of it, it's like an inch away from me liking it. And that's very frustrating, but there's just something about it that I just can't stand. And it's not just Michael Gira, because Michael Gira is kind of funny because he reminds me of like evil Calvin Johnson, like vocally. Mm-hmm. A lot like Calvin Johnson, but like for the forces of evil instead of for the forces of like
forces of
also
evil. I think he's a very, very goofy lyricist.
Oh, yeah. That too. So is Calvin Johnson.
Mm. Oh, yeah, except I think Michael Gira is a lot better than Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson is a piece of shit. I'll go ahead and say it.
Like as a human being or as a musician?
Both. I don't know why he's still alive. It's a crime against humanity.
Nobody's been brave enough to take him out.
Someone's got to put a stop to this, Calvin Johnson.
I think that Calvin Johnson from Beat Happening needs to be killed by Calvin Johnson from the Detroit Lions.
All I know is, much like Prurient, if I see him on the street, I'm going to punch him in his face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Prurient is getting
Would you
up.
Do that for Michael Gira as well?
I actually spoke to Michael Gira when I saw Swans live. He was a very nice man.
With me?
Was he?
Yes.
He yelled at a friend of the podcast, Aaron, for not doing hard drugs.
Oh, yeah.
He also signed his cast, and I asked Michael Gira about that literally 2 days after he did it. He's like, I don't remember doing that.
I doubt he would remember.
Well, he probably meets a lot of people every night.
But sure. How many casts does he sign?
Maybe a lot. I bet there's a lot of broken bones at Swan shows.
A couple.
I doubt it. Have you seen Swan shows?
No, I have more sense than that.
Well, Jeff and I actually saw a Swan show, okay? We have the authority to say this.
I've been to 3 Swan shows.
Why?
Damn it.
That's a good question. Here's the thing. Okay, the first time I saw Swans, it was a festival set. And this was before The Seer came out. Yeah, this was like 2010 or 2011.
Oh, when they first
My father will guide me.
Right,
rope to the sky.
Rope to my asshole.
Yeah, yep.
And this was like a festival set, so they played for like an hour.
Okay.
And like that was perfectly fine.
That's still
fine.
Too long.
No, it was perfectly, it was a great set. I enjoyed myself. Later, Swans came to Raleigh. Andrew... Was it your idea to go to this show, or was it mine, Andrew?
I'm pretty sure it was yours, like, because, again, I've always liked Swans, but I've never gone out of my way for anything Swans-related. You were like, hey, Swans is coming. I'm like, hey, let's go see them.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess it was my idea to see them the second time, and this was after The Seer came out. And I enjoyed it less this time, I have to say.
I liked it.
Well... They play for, like, over 2 hours, is the thing.
Yes.
And
who do they think they are? Fish?
They play loud as fuck, and they draw all their songs out. I mean, you know, on The Seer, the songs are, like, half an hour. But
I still
but,
and they drag it out even longer. And I'm still happy.
But you know, they draw all their songs out. It's an extremely punishing experience, like a Swan show. It's impressive.
I thought it was fun
in a way, but well, I'm glad you. Well, you also listen to like noise all the time, so
yeah. Like I mean, Avatar was a great song. I was jamming to that. That was a great groove.
I thought you
were
about
to say. Is
that
song about Avatar, the James Cameron film?
No, they use it as a soundtrack in the cartoon series Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh. Didn't Henry Rollins do a voice on that show?
I have no idea. I've never seen an episode of that show.
I think it was Korra that he did a voice for.
Oh, the gay show?
The gay show, yes.
I don't even know
what Korra
is.
The bisexual show, I think it is. Either way.
I thought Korra was a lesbian. I thought that was my understanding.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. She's macking on some broad.
God damn nerds.
Somewhere in cartoon heaven.
I don't even know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That was the show that was after Avatar The Last Airbender, and it was about some lady.
Okay,
oh,
but
I didn't
anyway.
Know you guys are legit fans. I apologize.
No, yeah, I've never seen either.
I didn't mean to offend your sensibilities.
I've never seen it, but
I haven't seen either show.
To get back to my goddamn story.
Sorry.
So yeah, we saw Swans a second time. It's a punishing experience. They play at deafening volumes. They drag their songs out to ridiculous lengths, and they just play. They played for like 2.5 hours, or close to that, anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of it, it was like, okay. I'm pretty sure that's all the Swans live that I ever need to see. Then they
came to the third show.
The third show, it was all Harry. Like, Harry wanted
I
to see
I feel
like
you invited me. You invited me to see the third Swan show. You were like, hey, do you want to go see Swans? I was like, no.
I remember being invited too, and I'm like, I'd rather go to work.
Yeah, you would rather go to work than go to a Swan show.
Because that is work.
It is. Like, it's
work that you pay to see.
It is. And like what they do, I think, is impressive, but it's not fun. That's for damn sure.
I wouldn't even say it's work. It's just, it's kind of like they've become a parody of themselves almost, because you know exactly what you're going to get when you go see them. There's no surprises. It's just, oh, they're gonna play this one riff for 20 minutes.
Right.
Cool.
And it's not cool like when Earth does it.
Well, it's two different sensibilities.
Well, yeah. Because Earth is good.
But yeah, the Chapel Hill show, I was ready to dip after like half an hour. I was like, oh, Jesus, I cannot. They're going to play for like 2 more hours, and I'm going to have to stand through all of it. And
that reminds me of the time that I went to go see Stomp, and I walked out after like 15 minutes.
I saw Stomp. Damn, when was that? That must have been like 2003 or 4?
I saw it when I was like 18, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. 20 minutes, they're banging on broomsticks on stage. My mom and I look at each other. She was like, do you want to get out of here? I said, yeah.
It was basically a Slipknot show?
It was exactly like a Slipknot show, except I probably would have stayed for that, because I want to see that guy spin all the way around.
Not just once, but twice, three times. That guy spins for days.
Oh, yeah. He's spinning. He's spinning.
Imagine if a Swan show was like a Slipknot show. All of them are just on these rotating platforms.
I would like it!
They all wear stupid masks. Michael Jira already looks ridiculous when he's on stage.
Well, he's got that.
Let me tell you guys something. Slipknot is a better band than Swans.
I can respect that opinion.
You heard it here first.
No.
They're a better band.
That's Look, ridiculous. Caroline, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're wrong, you're fucked, and you're overrated, and I think I'm going to be sick, and it's your fault.
Dude, the best part of that song, which for the listeners at home is Everything Ends by Slipknot, there's just this bit like after the verse and before the chorus where it's like doing the lead up riff to the chorus, and he just goes,
fuck.
See, that's better than
that
any
so much.
That's actually not dissimilar to things that happen on Swan Records.
That's true.
Right. It's not okay. Look, I get it. All right, I get what you're saying.
They're embarrassing.
They're embarrassing. Swans are embarrassing.
They're an embarrassment to America.
But they're great. But they are good. They're very good.
I love them. I think they're a great band. I think they're
okay. Why?
Why not? I mean, what's not to like? I think they've covered a lot of ground over the course of their career. They've done a lot of interesting things. I think their early records are unique and certainly unlike a lot of their contemporaries. I think they sort of took their sound to its logical extreme, and then they got really pretty, and they did a whole bunch of different sort of genre stuff, and they're a good band. I mean, they write good songs.
Yeah, they're really good at picking a central theme, a central mood, and they explore it to its conclusion perfectly.
Right.
Every single period they go through, it's like it's amazing. They almost have this clear sense of, okay, we know exactly how to get from this point to this point and cover all the ground that you possibly need to cover. And they do it in a very clean, compact kind of way, which is amazing whenever you consider that some of their albums are like 5 days long.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You mean like Soundtracks for the Blind?
Soundtracks for the Blind is a fantastic record. But
I'm honestly amazed that you like that record so much. But we'll get into that.
Okay, all right. So Cop is the first record we're going to talk about. I picked this to represent their early noise rock period. This is a... okay, Caroline. So why don't you like this, Caroline?
Because it's just boneheaded. It's not interesting. Like,
My War.
You like Flipper?
I love My Flipper.
Is this that different from what Flipper does?
Well, it's like Flipper if they were bad.
You would hate anything for being meat-headed when you love My War and Slip It In so much. And the Butthole Surfers. That is like the biggest, dumbest meat-headed music there is.
No, I know, but listen,
To be fair, all of the bands we've mentioned so far have a sense of humor.
Yes.
That's true.
Which Swans do not, first of all. And all of those bands and all of those records that you mentioned are musically interesting. Things happen on those records. Okay. Nothing happened. It's just Michael Google. Body! Chop body!
Okay.
Chop body!
First of all, I take issue. Nothing interesting happens on Flipper records. That's for damn sure.
Okay. Do you like cool bass riffs? Got them.
This doesn't have cool riffs?
No.
What? Okay.
They're interesting.
Name a cool riff.
Half-Life, right from the fucking beginning, man.
Nope.
It's amazing, too, because the first song kicks in, and you think it's going to be this really awesome guitar-fueled record. And then it's not.
I mean, this...
But it's so great. Cop is great. It's the best of the early...
Okay, guys, listen. I know how weird it is that I don't like Swans. I am much more frustrated by it than any of you.
I mean,
it doesn't make sense to me either that I don't like them, and that I think is what fuels my extreme dislike of them, because if it was just not my thing, it wouldn't matter and I wouldn't care. There's plenty of stuff that's not my thing. But it is my thing. It's just, but they just do it so stupidly and boringly.
I'll tell you a story. My friend Amanda, who, as far as I know, is no longer my friend, I guess, but that's beside the point.
Oh, no. No longer with us.
But yeah, we were just like riding in my car one day and I put on Cop and she just started laughing her balls off. Like when the music started, like she was cracking up. Like, you can't be serious. Like this music. And, I mean, I was, and, also, Andrew, if you remember this, one time we put on Public Castration is a Good Idea at my apartment.
How I remember.
And, she was also there for this, and she was, like, turning to Paige going, like, is this real? Is this real music? That
I was thrashing to Public Castration is a Good Idea. I love that record.
Like, this isn't real music, is it? Like, that's but I don't know. Like, I like the sort of singular, relentless drive of this album. Like, it never lets up. It's just,
it's very
constant,
physical.
Yeah, it's this constant smashing. It's visceral. It's loud. I mean, I guess I don't understand how you could not like Half-Life, because it is like a beast.
One of the best noise rock songs
of the
80s.
I don't like either, but I don't. And I think part of it is with Swans. It's like you either buy into Michael Gere's thing or you don't. And I just don't.
Well, I don't know, because I don't really buy into it either. It just sounds really, really good. It feels good.
Yeah.
It's very sensational, physical music.
Right.
I want to jump up and down and beat my head against the wall when I hear it, and that's what I want from music like that. I
mean, yeah, you know what makes me want to do that? You know the song Beat My Head Against the Wall by Black Flag? You know how much Black Flag I had to listen to this week just to cleanse my palate after these fucking Swans records? It was a lot.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how best to... I mean, this is very much a mood record, and it's very easy to, like, get tired of it halfway through. Like,
or, like, 10 minutes through.
Maybe even 10 minutes through, but like, when you're in the right mood, like, there's something extremely satisfying about this music.
Absolutely. Mm. This and Filth. Filth is really good, too.
Sure, and I think Filth is a good record, too, but Cop, the production is a lot better, for one thing. Like, it
I would
really
say Cop
cool.
is... Cop is better than Filth.
Mm. I would agree as well. Cop is the best essence of early Swans, aside from Public Castration is a Good Idea.
And I wanted to talk about Greed and or Holy Money also, but I there were other more important things I wanted to talk about, so we're not going to get to them. But I think those are cool records, too, that kind of... they sort of keep the smashing and the... Just the... You know, repetition and all that, but they add a little more color to the tonal palette.
It's interesting that with Swans, you can just kind of see all these elements just slowly building up into their next phase.
Sure, sure. And, you know, they let Jarbo in the band on Greed, and I think... okay, well, let's go ahead and start talking about Children of God. So, Jarbo is in the
they
band.
Let a woman... in the band.
And they let a woman in the band. Jarbo was there. And that's another thing, is like Swans always get like sort of derided as this like band for gross dudes or whatever. And
yeah, like, which I don't think is their fault. Like I think that's just that like, gross dudes do gravitate very much to this music. And then listen, then they're like, oh, girls just don't like this music. It's like, yeah, because we have fucking more sense than that.
But, like, Jarbo is right there, man.
I know, and that's what's stupid, too.
Mm. Yeah,
what's terrible? Hmm. This album was released on Carol Records.
That's right.
That's true.
You put out this record, Caroline.
You know, Gish was released on Caroline Records, too.
Gish is a better album than this.
Oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Children of God is, I used to really love this record, and reviewing it, I still like this record, but I don't think it's as good as I used to think it is. It is great, though. It's a great record.
I would say this is, You know, I really love Soundtracks for the Blind, actually, and I might have to give it to that, but I would say this is probably their best album, like, it's just as far as being, like, you know, the one Swans album you should hear, I think. Like, if you're getting into Swans, this is where I would point you. Because I think it's a good, it catches them at a transitional moment between their, like, noise rock and their goth phases.
Like, yeah, because I would say New Mind does sound more like what they were doing before.
Sure, and like Sex God Sex and A Beautiful Child.
Those fucking song titles.
I was just about to say, yeah, this is why Swans are embarrassing.
Yep.
Especially whenever you hear the lyrics to these songs.
Oh yeah, the sex in your soul will damn you to hell.
Well,
damn you to hell.
I kind of like the lyrics on this album, actually, because like
Jeff,
all...
you have 2 degrees. What are you doing?
Look, okay. there's a self-consciousness to the lyrics on this album because they're all religious themed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Michael Gira said that he wasn't like endorsing or condemning religion with these lyrics. He's using religious imagery to sort of experiment with the power that it has, with like the gravity that it has.
It's like Wormwood by the Residents.
Hey, shouts out to Wormwood.
Don't know what that is, but probably
it's a Residents album that you probably would think is stupid bullshit, but it's way better than this album.
You
tell you that much.
There is no doubt that Jeff would hate Wormwood. It's nothing but like 90s synthesizers and
it's
little
nothing but 90s Residents.
Yes, it's the 90s.
Put a period on that sentence.
Yeah, I guess.
So it's synthesizers and stupid voices?
Yep.
Wow, the Residents have really branched out, huh?
Yep.
Except this time, it sounds like there's only one person in the band. They don't even try to disguise the fact that it's just like one dude sadly pressing a keyboard and just crying, basically.
Yep. To put a positive on this, I do like In My Garden. I think that's a really good vocal performance from Jarbo.
What's not to like?
Yeah,
A Drug is a really good song.
Yeah, it's okay. That's like probably the other standout.
Really?
Sometimes Jarbo's voice can bother me because I don't like really hushed vocal deliveries. It just can, I don't know, it makes me uncomfortable, I guess. I don't like whispering, and it's like I didn't like that movie The Innocents because it was nothing but children whispering, and I was just like, okay, I've had way too much of this. It's uncomfortable for me, but I do like In My Garden. I think that's a really good performance.
Don't you like Current 93?
Yeah, I do. That is
all
a lot of children whispering.
That's all his stuff is.
I know.
Is it really a lot of children whispering?
Kind of, yeah. Yes. I would make some parallels between like this album and like something like Swastikas for Naughty.
Yeah,
I think.
Do you like that album?
Not much as I like a lot of his other stuff.
But you still like it.
It's okay. I don't know. I don't love it. It's okay.
But this is shit?
Yes. Yes.
So Children of God is shit?
Sausages for Naughty, thumbs up.
Well, I would say that like if I have to listen to a Swans album and not throw it in the garbage afterward... It would be this one?
Really?
Yeah. Well, what did you think it would be?
I don't know. I feel like this is... Well, I guess since you kind of are, you know, into goth music of some... I guess that kind of... But this... I feel like this is probably the most uninteresting record that we're talking about today.
Wow.
It's good. It's just... I don't know.
Well,
it's
I guess...
watered down goth music.
If we're not... I guess maybe it's the most uninteresting, but
well,
I wouldn't necessarily
okay.
say that's a bad thing. Even I mean, this is one of their most accessible, I would say.
And let me like speak more clearly. I would still throw this album in the garbage. But
this
I don't
is a
have
stinker.
To. I don't have to. I have to with all of these other ones. I have to throw them in the garbage. This one, I choose to.
I just want to mention a few songs here, and maybe. I mean, I don't know how many times you've even listened to this album.
I've listened to this album a lot, actually, because I've given Swans a fair shake. Okay. Like,
I remember
this.
I remember back in the day, yeah, Caroline really, really tried to like Children of God. Like,
I really tried to like Swans because everybody was like on, you know, was on the Swans train. I was really trying, especially before Back Together. I was really trying, and I kind of like. It's like, yeah, this album is good. And then I would listen to it again, and it's like, oh my god, it's so long. They're all so long.
It's not even that long.
It's over
especially
an hour.
When you compare it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good for the entire running time, though, which...
So you think that this album justifies its... You think Soundtracks for the Blind justifies its runtime, but
yes.
Trout Mask Replica doesn't?
Absolutely, I do.
Well, wow. See... And this is kind of what I was getting at the beginning of the podcast. I'm honestly amazed that Jeff loves these Swans records so much because, yeah, they are all, like, just forever.
They're a million years long.
Well, you know, if your music is good, I don't mind if it, like, takes up 70 minutes as much.
Yeah, that's my feeling on Trout Mask Replica.
But it's the same shit.
Can I make
a comment about Trout Mask Replica?
Okay.
Please.
I think I mentioned this to you, Jeff, but I don't think that it's reductive at all to reduce Trout Mask Replica as just like stupid blues rock. I don't think that's reductive at all, because honestly, that's what the record feels like. I think it's really good, but I don't think it's some grand artistic achievement or whatever. Honestly,
it's a grand artistic achievement. It'd be stupid.
Well, yeah, but I don't see how it's. I just don't see how Trout Mask Replica is this amazing monolith in modern artistic pop music. I just don't see that. I mean, it really does sound just kind of, it honestly surprises me that they practice so hard to play those songs right, because it. Seems like it's just really fun stuff that anybody who's drunk and knows about blues music would try to make.
Oh, you mean like us on Saturday?
Exactly. I'm sure you guys recorded like a mini Trout Mask Replica.
Yeah, it was probably way better than Trout Mask.
I want to listen to it again. I really want to hear how we did.
I still need to mix it and everything. But,
yeah, I'm just begging to hear my own worst enemy again.
But yeah, I hate how that record is held up and has this, I think its mystique is what prevents a lot of people from enjoying it, because it's put on this pedestal as amazing modern art whenever it's, I think it's a really fun record.
Well, yeah. I think I have a tendency, and like, I'm not proud of this, but I can admit it, like, if I don't like something and lots of other people do like it, it like irritates me more than it would like if
that
it wasn't
kind of
like
is
a lot of people didn't
where
like
I'm
it.
At with Swans.
Yeah.
It's where I'm at with most of the bands you guys like to talk about.
but okay, so Caroline, let me throw a few song titles at you here.
Alright.
Okay, New Mind? You don't like New Mind?
God, no.
You don't like Sex God Sex?
Who could?
It's so good, dude.
It's almost 7 minutes
worth
long.
Worth every second.
No.
What about You're Not Real, Girl? That's a great
what
song.
What about it?
It's great.
It's a pretty ballad.
Yeah. And I hate ballads, and I like that song.
What do I need with a pretty ballad by Michael Gira?
Sex God Sex? Come on. Like, the part... Okay, look, it's got that like two note riff through the whole thing that is awesome, and then like it breaks in the middle with Michael Gira doing his like praise the Lord, praise God, and the
you're
fucking,
just
like,
burying yourself deeper.
The choral vocals come in, fucking the drums are killing it on that track.
I've heard the song;
it's so good. It's the best song Swans ever did.
Come into my heart, sweet Lord. Come into my heart. I'm open.
Whoa, hot takes.
What's better?
What's better than that?
Yeah.
Guys, dudes.
A couple of the songs on the next record we're going to talk about.
Okay. All right, Caroline.
What?
The title track.
It's
great.
Fine. It's fine, I guess. I don't know. I have a limited amount of time on this earth, and I don't want to spend it listening to Swans.
Blood and Honey, one of the other Jarbo songs. It's got that bing, 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 bing. You know, like,
nah.
Like, oh my god!
Come on, it's got bing, 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 bing.
It's got the bing bings. What the fuck's your problem? You don't like bing bings?
You're too good for bing bings.
I just want to listen to fucking instrumental Black Flag. For hours on end.
I probably like this more than any Black Flag record.
Jeff, no. Don't do this.
I would probably say My War is better.
Thank God. I thought I was losing you.
Maybe Slippin'.
The title
like
track
equal.
From Slippin' In is
well,
better.
That's one of the, like, 10 greatest songs ever recorded, so,
yeah.
I mean, what are you gonna do? Alright. Alright. I can't believe you don't like this album. I think its greatness is so
I can't
honestly.
Believe anyone does.
Okay, whatever.
White Light from the Mouth of Infinity.
White Light from the Mouth of Infinity.
This is some stupid bullshit.
Is my favorite Swans record.
Really?
This is my absolute favorite Swans record.
Okay.
I will say, I was listening to this album recently, and Maddie and I, we were kind of cuddling, being adorable and everything, and Failure comes on, and it gets to that line, being sucked into the quicksand of failure, and she just started laughing so
She was right!
That song is hilarious, but I love how ridiculous it is.
Failure is great. That's one of
it's
the.
It's a fantastic.
No,
song.
Failure is one of the key Swans.
Money slips through my hands. My face in the mirror tells me it's no surprise that I am pushing the stone up the hill of failure. And they tempt me with violence, and they punish me with ideals, and they crush me with an image of my life that's nothing but unreal. Except on the goddamn slave ship of failure, and I'll drown here trying get up for some air, but each time I think I breathe, I'm laid on with a double share of the punishing burden of failure.
Okay, so this is early 90s Swans. By this point, they were like full-on goth. They had made their major label debut just previously with The Burning World. It did not bring them fortune and fame, if you can imagine.
They couldn't buy a lot of bong hits with that record.
No. They were short on bong hits that year, let me tell you.
It's a good album, though.
And it shows.
Burning World is okay. It's not a particular favorite of mine.
A friend of mine bought a cassette copy of The Burning World from a Christian bookstore in Goose Creek, South Carolina.
Nice.
They thought it was the Swan Silvertones, so they ordered it, but it was actually Swans.
The Swan
Silvertones?
That's
amazing.
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
They're a gospel group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yes, this is goth period Swans, Burning World, White Light, Love of Life.
And it's all terrible.
Okay.
Never heard Love of Life, actually.
It's just this album, except shorter and not quite as good.
Well, man, I'd probably love it, because I really love this record.
But White Light, I like this record. I would even go as far as to say I like it a lot. This is, I have to admit, Caroline, this album could probably stand to be shorter.
Yeah.
I think you could lop a couple songs off of this. I mean...
Yeah, like all of them?
It is 70 minutes, and unlike Children of God, it's kind of just in one mode the entire time.
Yeah. That's right. They find one mode and they execute it flawlessly.
No,
time and time again.
I think this is an you know, and this is a really likable album, I think, which
absolutely.
Which, you know, what's your beef, Caroline?
You know, and this is another one where it's like an inch away from me liking it, and I just can't. I don't know. I'm very frustrated with myself. It feels like there's something wrong with me.
I mean, there is, clearly.
I know, and I'm not proud of
this
it.
This is another episode of Fuck Caroline.
Fuck Caroline. What the hell's
wrong with you?
Our sub-podcast, Fuck Caroline.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some people that like that one. Jeff is trying to help me to get me to Mac on some broad.
I am, and you won't do it.
I won't do it. I'm shy.
Why won't you do it?
I'm shy!
Listen, okay. Caroline and this broad... exchange numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would someone give you their number if they were not interested in you?
They want to bang you.
That was my conclusion as well.
So hey. It goes from numbers to wanting to bang because
pretty
like
much.
I've exchanged numbers with like people in my class.
Well,
yeah, you want to bang them,
Caroline. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Context is a factor.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't a dating website.
You exchange numbers on a dating website.
Yeah, Caroline. Come on.
Hit this broad up.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Sing your power and sacrifice.
Okay. Actually, this album contains one of my favorite ridiculous Michael Gira lines. It's right at the beginning of Power and Sacrifice. He goes, "I want power because it feels good." That's too good, man.
That's the thing is, I think some of my beef with Swans is I think I've met, like, you guys are fine, but I have met people that are dead ass serious about this band, and it does not, they do not warrant that reaction at all.
I think it's because the music behind it is so powerful and cinematic sounding that it can...
It
I
carries
mean,
I guess
if you have
like,
no yeah. context for what cinematic and powerful is.
Look, like, Michael Gira is... I mean, he's... This is
he's a grade A moron, this guy.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he's reaching high with these lyrics. Like, he's aiming for high drama here.
And he is not.
He was just learning how to write actual songs with this record.
That's right, exactly. That's the other thing. I mean, this is by far their most like musically accomplished album that they had done at this.
That's
point.
Not saying much.
Well, I mean, give them
I think
some
that's
credit.
Why I like this record so much because you know I'm not a good songwriter at all, but I try sometimes, and it's like, hey, this guy's trying too. Good on you.
Well,
I like that.
I mean, the songs on this are really good. Like they're
yeah.
melodic, and the arrangements are rich and detailed, and and it's produced beautifully too. Like that first like few seconds of Better Than You when that kicks in, like those
mm-hmm.
those big crashing drums, they sound good. That keyboard, fucking total goth keyboard,
right?
Like it's beautiful.
And that's kind of the thing too, is like some of these songs, it's like I'll like them for like 2 minutes and then they just keep on going.
And then you get sucked
such as
into
Better
the
Than
quicksand
You,
of failure.
Such as Level Save You, and actually Failure, I would say I like.
How can you not?
It's stupid.
It's relatable, though.
It's a stupid song, but it's great.
It is relatable. And that's that's some of the thing, too, is a lot of people take Swans dead-ass seriously. They're like, man, Swans are the most intense band ever. Like, flex, bro. And I'm like, okay, these guys who I've met, if they read, like, diaries I wrote 6 years ago, they pants because it's... It's all of this writ large. Mm. It's all me, like, you know, dumb bullshit about how life is garbage and I never do anything right. And
Caroline, too, has been stuck on the goddamn slave ship of failure.
Yep, exactly. That's right.
But
what a great song.
I mean, look, sometimes you just want to sit around and pity yourself, man. Like,
yeah, I could do better than Swans if that's what I want to do.
I mean, failure, sometimes, like, that song, it just, you know, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, but it's like,
when
I don't
I find
need
me some money, I'll kiss its green skin. Know that feel, bro.
Sure.
Oh yeah, I'm
but I just am like I don't need somebody telling me about it because like I know what it is.
Well, I need someone to tell me about it. I need to know what kissing money feels like.
Mm-hmm. Me like, too. Yeah, me too.
Just paper.
Really? How often have you kissed money, Caroline? Huh?
More than you think.
How many songs have you written about it? I need somebody to tell me that. This is how I get my information about the world. Are these stupid goddamn Swans record. Everything I've learned about life is through Swans.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything.
Andrew spent his entire life sitting in a room and he's had nothing in terms of cultural stimulation except for these Swans albums.
Literally, like
that's
the six
result.
We're talking about.
That's why
literally.
You're such a gloomy bastard.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
The gloomiest bastard I've ever met.
But, like, okay, you mentioned Love Will Save You as a song that you almost like.
Well, I like it for like 2 minutes, and then it's like four more.
Oh, that is such a good song. That might be my favorite song on this record.
Love Will Save You.
I think I like You Know Nothing best. Like, that's a... Oh, it's beautiful.
God.
The acoustic guitars and the... like the... It sounds like the sun rising.
You know, I need... there's only one person that I need playing an acoustic guitar, and you all know
Jandek?
Who.
Jandek?
No.
Jandek?
No, John Fahey. Motherfucking Blind Joe Death. That's all I need.
I didn't know that's the only person you need to hear play acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You don't like any of the good neo-folk music either.
No, I don't. Oh, you mean all that Nazi shit? No,
like Forseti. Forseti is great.
No, they're really not.
That's the best acoustic music ever made. I'm saying it now. It's the best acoustic music ever
I
made.
Honestly... And it's,
John Faye? More like John Gay.
Yeah, that's why I like him.
True, true. All right,
you
Caroline. Caroline,
me.
Caroline.
Yes.
Song for Dead Time.
What about it?
Charbo, man.
What about her?
Charbo's crushing it. Keyboards are going... It's great.
Yeah, it's
what
got
else
more...
do you want keyboards
well,
to do?
Yeah, it's some of that hush vocal I don't like. It's not just her. It's anybody. I just don't care for that. It's uncomfortable. Ugh. It's like a sensory thing for me. It's just very uncomfortable.
Caroline.
Oh, man. I don't... I honestly... Like, this is the one Swans record where I just can't find anything that I don't like about it. I love this record.
Well, that's good.
This is fantastic.
I'm glad that you're happy. But I'm not.
All right.
So, you described it. This sounds like it's your least favorite, Caroline, but you also say
no,
that
I feel
you,
like I've just like, unleashed it more. I don't... this is actually probably my most favorite.
This album?
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's just that they're all bad.
I thought you said Children of God was the one you wouldn't throw in the garbage afterwards.
I don't know. Well, this one I'd throw in the garbage, but I'd feel a little bad about it. I'd feel like, well, maybe I'll listen to that some other time. And then I do, and then I'm just like, ugh.
How often do you dig through your garbage to hear stuff that you threw away?
I don't know.
Are you a
well, I don't know.
That's
like the time I downloaded The Devil's Advocate, and then like 3 months later, I still had it on my hard drive. Well, I'm not going to watch The Devil's Advocate. And then I downloaded it again.
Why'd you download it in the
first
place?
Of course
I'm going to
fucking watch it. Who am I?
So I know you watched it because of We Hate Movies, but why did you download it in the first place?
I don't know. I don't even know.
That's not a good movie.
I was like, that movie sounds funny.
I don't even know what this movie is.
You know, The Devil's Advocate?
No,
that's a movie where Keanu Reeves works at a law firm run by the devil, who's played by Al Pacino.
And
that sounds hilarious.
Keanu Reeves has like the fakest Southern accent. Like, just imagine.
He sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
Just imagine Keanu Reeves doing a Southern accent, and like,
and this
like
is a bad movie.
You can't do accents.
Yeah. How is this a bad movie? This sounds amazing.
It's two and a half hours
for
long.
One thing. It's as long as a Swan show, for God's sake.
Yeah, they make a big show out of revealing that Al Pacino is the devil, even though the movie is called The Devil's Advocate.
This sounds like the greatest movie I've ever
heard
of.
Watch it.
Oh,
watch
God.
It.
I would recommend. I would recommend
it. It's worth seeing once.
It's kooky.
I mean, it's garbage, but
it has Al Pacino's. It has like Al Pacino pretending to speak Chinese.
Oh my God!
Yeah, where's that chicken?
I need to watch this movie.
You
that
do.
Sounds like it could be my favorite movie ever.
You do. Set a date. Watch The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, like...
I hope you have 2.5 hours to spare.
For Al Pacino pretending to speak Chinese, I've got all the time in the world.
Yep. Right. So, can we talk about The Great Annihilator?
Let's do it.
What do you like about this?
It's basically an alternative rock record.
Yeah, this is their alt-rock record.
I think this is the album that I would tell people who want to kind of check out Swans. I would probably tell them to get this one.
This is just nothing, man.
It's definitely not nothing. My biggest problem with this album is it sounds... I don't like the way it's produced. Like, it sounds sort of washed out in a way that doesn't... like, everything is reverbed to hell in a way that, like, and that's the thing, is, like, white light.
Yeah, it sounds like Downeaster Alexa by Billy Joel.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Jara has said that he was infatuated with Phil Spector, so he said, just put reverb on everything. It'll
work.
Wow,
that makes sense. Like, this is his Phil Spector album?
Yes.
But, like, it's a disappointment because, like, white light sound is a fantastic production job. Like, every instrument is crystal clear, like, beautifully mixed. It sounds great. And this is just, like, muddy and reverbed and just sort of weird.
It feels like the songs don't have much that you can tell that they have.
What's that?
It feels like you can tell, I mean, if you like this record anyway, you can tell that these songs have a lot of bite, a lot of punch, and they would sound great, but, yeah, it's just the way they're recorded, they sound kind of flat.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think this is a very good album also. Like, I think this is some of their strongest and most accessible songwriting. Like you said, you know, you would introduce people to it with this. I think I stand by my notion that Children of God is the introductory Swans record, just because I think it captures the gloom a little more. But this is maybe their most accessible album, though.
Like, it's got Celebrity Lifestyle.
It's got Celebrity Lifestyle, sure. It's
pretty much a Sonic Youth song.
Yeah.
If Sonic Youth were worse.
Well, I can assure you, Sonic Youth are worse than Swans.
I would not agree with that, but...
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having some sense.
Well, I'm trying to think, like... only a little bit, though.
I feel like Swans have character. Swans have, you know what they're all about.
Sonic Youth
has character.
Character,
what, are
you
fucking kidding me?
Especially for their time. First of all, if Sonic Youth sounds...
They're Pearl Jam.
They're Pearl Jam. Fuck off. Fuck right off, Andrew.
They're basically Pearl Jam to me. I feel...
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
They have no... Especially past, like... Especially in the 90s and the 2000s, which I think, admittedly, the records are a bit better than they were in the 80s. There's just no character to them. They sound like generic indie rock.
But, I mean, you have to keep
in mind...
I feel like
you don't know very much about generic indie rock.
Trust me, bro. I have heard some generic indie rock in my life.
That ain't it. And I can understand not liking Sonic Youth, and I can understand not liking their later stuff. Like, I like it just because I like how they play. But, I mean, I could get... But to say that Sonic Youth have no character is just... Is no offense, but it's stupid.
Bro, I used to discover music by looking at the college radio charts in the mid-2000s. I have heard some bland-ass indie rock in my life, okay?
What's some shit that you had to listen to?
I don't know, like super furry animals and shit like that.
Well, they're fine. I guess I'm privileged in that I've never had to, seek out super furry animals thinking this is going to be great.
Well, you also have to keep in mind, Sonic Youth is like one of the most influential rock bands of all time. So, like,
doesn't make them good.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if they sound generic or bland to you, like, they invented that sound pretty much. So, like, you know.
I guess. Still doesn't make it very interesting.
Well, I'm sorry that you have shitty ears that suck.
Believe me, I try to like Sonic Youth, but it's just.
His story of Sonic Youth is similar to mine of Swans.
Yeah.
Well, I don't find Sonic Youth offensive. I dislike Sonic Youth more so because people love them so much, and I'm just like, you know what? This band is stupid and boring. I don't like this at all.
God damn it.
Whereas Andrew. I don't think that's your thing with Swans. You seem to have a general musical grievance with them. I'm assuming you have a legitimate musical grievance with them.
Well, my musical grievance with them is basically that I should like them. I just think that they're plain no good. And I don't know why.
Aww. Come on, it says Mighty Bind's Light Sound. That's a great song.
Yeah, dude.
No, it's not.
That could have been a hit, man.
It could have been.
Mighty Light Sound.
Well, thank God it wasn't.
It's
got Mother's Milk. It's got Mother's Milk, which is probably a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover. It's great.
Or, no, the Me Puppet song is called Maiden's Milk.
Yeah. Dude, you know how I saw Meat Puppets open for Stone Temple Pilots?
Yeah.
Meat Puppets are coming to Winston-Salem in a couple weeks.
And who are they opening for?
They're opening for Soul Asylum.
Oh,
oh my God, that's so sad.
It's a tragedy. It is a fucking tragedy.
Meat Puppets released two of the best guitar albums of the 1980s, and they're stuck opening for Soul Asylum.
Soul Asylum.
They can't even open for Limp
Runaway Biscuit. Trains. And that's it.
That's just
Runaway Train is a better song than anything on this album. Runaway Train.
All right, fuck right off, my friend.
Yeah. That's a dumb opinion even for me. And I have some dumb opinions.
You know it's a better song than any song in this album? I mean that, because I don't like Runaway Train that much. Hmm. Is Jumper by Third Eye Blind, which I kept trying to get everybody to play the other night.
Okay, here's my thing. Like, I know that, you know, we grew up in the 90s.
Sure.
I know that we have a lot of 90s nostalgia.
Not really.
I do. I know that, you know, certain bands that we've dismissed as nostalgia, we're starting to sort of come around to. But Third Eye Blind was never good.
No, they weren't.
They are not good now.
No.
All of their songs are bad. All of them. They were never good in the first place. Third Eye Blind is a terrible band. They seem to be, like... one of the 90s nostalgia acts that people are like trying to claim was actually good now. I've seen people stick up for Third Eye Blind. Like, oh, you know, they were actually a really good band. People didn't give them credit. And it's like, no.
I've seen people do that with New Radicals. People are telling you that New Radicals record is good.
Well, they only had one hit, though. Like,
I know, but they had that. People were like, oh, no, that one record, man, that was some really good, like, you know.
Power pop.
Yeah, whatever. Which, who gives a shit about power pop?
Yes, I've heard you.
Power pop is the most unlikable genre ever. I don't know why people are so into it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Who cares?
It's look, garbage.
It's like any other genre. There's good and bad. I mean.
Well, yeah. No,
there's
doubt,
bad
it's just
and worse.
Good power pop is transcendent, man.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I'm happy for you.
I mean, it's just pop with fuzzy guitar. I mean, what's not? Do you like pop?
I would rather listen to like 90s Eurodance or something if I want
pop. You love 90s Eurodance. Don't try to talk a big game.
I do. That's what I'm saying. If I want pop music or something, I'll go with something that goes the full 20, not something that's trying to, I don't know. Power pop is just like boring.
Yeah, it all sounds the same.
Exactly.
I mean, it depends.
Pop punk has more variation than power pop.
I don't know about that.
That's ridiculous.
It does.
I would say they're on equal levels.
They're not that different, first of all. I mean,
yeah.
Pop punk is just power pop sped up a little bit, first of all. So I don't even know like why you're drawing that big of a distinction between the two. And second, no.
Period.
So anyway, the
all right, so,
right?
So what else about The Great Annihilator, Andrew?
It's a great power pop record.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got I don't think there's a single clunker. It's just all hits front to back.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. And it's another diverse record, I would say, much like Children of God.
Has Norman Westerberg's best guitar licks.
You think?
Yes, I think the guitar wise, this is probably their best record.
And his name is Westberg.
Westberg.
Westerberg is the Replacements.
Well, oh my god, I can't believe I screwed that up.
You fucking douchebag. No.
Witnessing the end of a friendship.
I don't like this guy anymore.
It's okay, I don't like myself.
Yeah, well, who does?
Thanks to Swans Records.
I like you, even though you like Swans. I'd say that for both of you.
No, that's very kind.
I do admit, it is hard for me to really get why people obsess with Swans. Like,
I agree with that, too. Like, they're not a band. I feel like if Swans are like a band that you connect with deeply, like...
You got some problems.
That's not a good thing. But, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, more power to you. But
and I mean, bro, I've got some problems. But even
all right, let's talk about Soundtracks for the Blind.
Well, this is the worst because it's like it's over 2 hours. It's longer than The Devil's Advocate.
And it doesn't have Al Pacino trying to speak Chinese.
No, it does.
I think this is the worst record that we're talking about today.
God, it's terrible.
Thanks to this record, we have Godspeed You Black Emperor. So thanks
a
lot.
Okay,
yeah.
If
I could go back in time and keep this record from being released, so I wouldn't have to fucking hear about Godspeed You Black Emperor, I would.
Okay, thanks to Led Zeppelin, we have Pearl Jam. I mean, let's not go down that road.
All right.
I mean, thanks to Nirvana, we have fucking, I don't know, Hinder.
Wow.
Hinder.
What was it? What did they do?
I don't even remember, but it was garbage. I know that.
Hold on.
I thought you were going to go with some...
I'm on Wikipedia right now.
I thought you were going to go with, like, Nickelback or Creed or something, but Hinder?
I went for the deep cuts.
They are best known for their early hits, Get Stoned. Like that. I like that message. Lips of an Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Better Than Me. how long
you so glad me. You're better than me. Ah.
And without you.
Yeah, I don't know any of those songs.
I gotta say, Nirvana's legacy is much better than Swan's in that regard.
Well, yeah.
I'd rather listen to Hinder than Godspeed You Black Emperor. Right.
So as we've suggested, Soundtracks for the Blind is kind of their post-rock album. You know,
post-rock album. The first one.
No. I mean, we had like Tortoise and Mogwai before this shit came out, didn't we? Or was it
Gaster Del Sol.
Yeah.
I didn't think Mogwai came out before. I didn't think Mogwai was released to record
think Mogwai,
before this
one. Mogwai was releasing their first singles in like 96, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Young Team came out in 97. All right, but no, and like Bark Psychosis and Talk Talk and Disco Inferno also before Swans, but
yeah, I guess
that you didn't know what you were talking about and you got shut down, Andrew. You got you got outpost rocked tonight, my friend.
I remember
I'm gonna have to live with that on my tombstone. Outpost rocked by.
You know, in a way, a tombstone is a post-rock.
You know, okay.
Am I right? Am I right?
You're right. The first time I listened to this album, it was about, I think I was like just graduated from high school. And I think I got through all of disc one, and I was like, well, this is terrible. And but I kept going. And oh my god, I forget what song it was, but I started like kind of skipping through it, and then this one song, and I forget what it was. It might have been Empathy. It just wouldn't end.
No, it's probably like, the sound.
Like, it might, I think, no, but like it was like there was something wrong with my computer, and it just kept going.
I never listened to this record. It's good. Like, I have no time for this.
Well, look, I don't think you're supposed to listen to this shit all in one go. I mean, it's two discs. Listen to one at a time. I mean,
just getting through one is kind of a slog.
I disagree. Okay, and you're blaming this album for Godspeed You Black Emperor. Really, that's only like the longer tracks that are really like that sort of crescendo chorus sound. You know, Helpless Child and The Sound and all them shits.
But yeah, there's like four songs here. There's four songs in this album that are over 10 minutes long or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're fine. They're good. They're pretty.
No, they're not.
They're pretty.
I mean, you're right that they're fine. That's all they are. I'm never like, I want to listen to The Sound over and over and over again. No, it's like, I listen to half the sound, and I'm like, I guess I don't need to hear the rest.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not entirely something I can explain, but I can listen to this entire thing. Like, it's a world to get lost in. It's I really like all of it. Like, I think there's a real diversity in tone and just like the sound of it is really, it's this great drone record. It's one of the best drone records, I would say.
Nah.
I do think falling asleep listening to I Was a Prisoner in Your Skull is fantastic.
Sure. And how do you not love that little bit of dialogue in I Was a Prisoner in Your Skull?
Well, fuck. I mean, I just don't know what to say. Very glad to be here with you tonight. Be able to talk to you about some things that I know a great deal about. Everyone knows that you are fucked up. And everyone knows that I am fucked up. But does everyone know that you are more fucked up than me? Well, I know that. And you know that. But our purpose is to tell everyone that. Take, for instance, the time you went to the bathroom to take a shower. You had soap. You had a towel. Shampoo. washcloth, a brush. Everything was set. But you had to call me to come turn on the water for you. You didn't know where how. That is one instance of how fucked up you are. A second instance of how fucked up you are. You was going to cook you some breakfast. Well, you went in there and you put some toast in the toaster. Put a skillet on the stove with some grease in it and got you some eggs out and some bacon. Poured you some orange juice, made you some coffee, got some jelly and some butter, fried eggs, salt, pepper, got the bacon all ready. Everything was fine. Except for one thing. You had to call me in there to show you how to use a fork.
That is the best.
You know what's a better little bit of dialogue? Huh. The beginning of Steal My Sunshine by Len.
Oh, come on.
Does he like butter tarts? If you put that on this record, I'd like it. That little bit of dialogue there.
Just literally put it anywhere in there, and Caroline's like, yeah, this is a great record.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't know. There's lots of lovely just moments on this album. Like Volcano with the Jarbo vocal on it and the like kind of breakbeats, and it's really pretty. And I love Surrogate 2 with that cello bit. I love the long post-rock tracks. I think Helpless Child is gorgeous. I was a prisoner in your
skull,
as I mentioned
before. You know what song is really good?
Huh.
You know that song Born to Love Volcanoes by the Dead Milkmen?
Oh, Jesus.
That song is really good, right?
No.
No?
Is Volcano the Bear good? Since we're talking about volcanoes now, can we establish if Volcano the Bear is good?
The band? That's a band, right?
Yeah, they're a band. They're upright.
I've never listened to them.
You should check them out.
What kind of
Andrew, did you go see the chick from Magic Markers yet?
That's on Sunday, and I'm still thinking that I might.
Here's a fun fact. Magic Markers, worst show I've ever seen in my life.
And he's seen The Residents with me.
To be fair,
and Swans three times.
I don't know if it was entirely their fault, because it seemed like they were having sound problems, but it's weird. It seems like they didn't notice they were having sound problems until the last song. And then, like, they got really pissed off, and she, like, stormed off the stage looking really pissed. But it's like, you've had this, like, the entire set. I don't know why you're, like, just now noticing that this... It's also the loudest show I've ever been to, Magic Markers. And I don't know, like, our college radio station was putting it on, and, like, everyone was really excited about it because, like... They Magic Markers had this reputation for being a ferocious live act and just like kicking lots of ass and being noisy and awesome, and it was just like a mess. It was terrible.
I've never listened to them.
I remember telling you, Jeff, that does sound like it was their fault.
Well, like the guitar was so loud you couldn't hear any of the other instruments over it, and it seemed like she couldn't either because like. They ended the set with this song, Body Rot, which is this kind of straightforward punky number. And she, like, couldn't follow the song because she couldn't hear the drums. And I couldn't hear the drums. And as you know, drums are very loud. So that's how loud the guitar was, that you literally could not even hear the drums over it. And it was weird. But anyway, we're not talking about Magic Markers. We're talking about Soundtracks for the Blind.
What's to talk about?
I do feel a certain envy whenever Jeff says this is a record he can get lost in, because I really love records like that where you just kind of, they seem to have a mythology and structure all their own. You can just kind of get lost. I really want to feel that with this record. And there are times whenever I guess it gets a little close, but I don't know.
I'm captivated by this shit the entire time. Like, I think every song, well, except maybe Yum Yab Killers, which is like a real break in the mood, I think. But but apart from that, like, I think it's all great. Like, I really, really love this album. It's probably my favorite Swans. Either that or Children of God. But, you know, they're pretty different, so it's sort of hard to compare.
I don't know if this justifies its running time. I guess, I mean, I just don't really think this is very intensive listening. But it is good.
I think it stands up to scrutiny. Like, I think you can, like, really concentrate on this shit and find it rewarding. Like, I don't think it's wallpaper music at all.
Yeah, this definitely ain't Stars of the Lid, let me tell you.
Jesus.
There's a band I do not fucking get at all.
Like, to me,
they're terrible. They
are the, like, least interesting ambient music I've ever heard. I don't know what people get out of their music at all. Like, it has no texture. Like, it's thin and, like, just dull, and I don't get it at all. It's weird.
I think it was you who reviewed it and was like, enjoy your 2 hours of nothing.
Enjoy your 2 hours of nothing. I believe that was my exact phrasing, yes.
I love you guys.
But, you know, that's probably what some people would say about this, and they would be wrong.
No,
I would say it's definitely, there's not nothing. Like, there's, you know, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, this is a stylistically diverse record.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awful.
It's just bad at every style.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're talking my language.
All right, fair enough. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about soundtracks. I think it's a really beautiful record, and you know, I probably wouldn't like listen to it all in one go, but I can listen to one disc of it all in one go for sure.
Before we jump to the next record, I do want to say that after this, Swans just kind of dissolved, and Michael Gyra went on to do what I think is his best project, which is the Angels of Light. So if you like Swans, you should check out the Angels of Light.
I've listened to a little Angels of Light.
Somebody was involved with Angels of Light that's like somebody cool that I like. I mean, I know a bunch of people.
Michael Gyra?
No. No, a lady.
Okay.
Let me look it up. I forget who it was.
I do know Akron Family are involved, and they're embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're good, but they're embarrassing.
I saw Akron Family live, actually.
Was it good?
Yeah, they played a $5 show in Greensboro. It was fun.
Oh, not bad.
I don't really like them that much.
Devendra Bonhart is involved with Angels of Light, and he's embarrassing. Pretty much everybody involved is embarrassing.
He is embarrassing.
Devendra Bonhart, yeah, I would say so.
I think Rejoicing in the Hands is a good record.
I haven't listened to any of that shit since like 2005, so I couldn't even tell you. Yeah, maybe I would.
It's
like
been
it
a long time. It's been a long time since I've heard that stuff too. I'm liking that one.
Oh, it's Esther Balin. She did something with Angels of Light.
I don't know who that is.
She was Ava in Stranger in Paradise.
Oh yeah, okay. She's a musician.
Yeah.
She probably just showed up. She stood in the studio and got credit for it.
She's a violinist. Played the violin.
So Swans broke up after Soundtracks for the Blind.
Their long reign of terror finally ended.
The Carolines of the World rejoiced.
Yep.
Only in 2009, we got a message that said, Swans are not dead. A reference to their live album by the name of Swans Are Dead. And they released an album, My Father Will Guide Me Up a Rope to the Sky, which was well received.
Oh, people really? Went nuts for that shit.
It was well. It wasn't ecstatically received.
That would come later. Yeah, I was about to say, I remember that record being like, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting. And it wasn't until this year when people started going like, oh my God, oh my God.
Well, right. Yeah. Like, no, I was saying, like, my father was a well-received record, but then the Seer came out, and suddenly...
Congratulations to your father.
Yeah. I was going to make a similar joke. Oh God, the Seer reached meme status. I would say,
yeah, oh for sure.
And yeah, there's nothing there.
Well,
it's a shame because I think it's a good record.
The Seer is a good record. It's not really something I like all that much, though. Like, I don't really get a whole lot out of it when I listen to it.
It's impressive, though. It's impressive.
It is impressive. I think what's interesting about The Seer is kind of what it's done for Swans in the 2010s, which I think they are, like, one of our most relevant rock bands right now, which is weird.
Which is sad.
It is weird.
Sad, it's very strange. Arguably. Weird, definitely. Because swans... I mean, swans are at the peak of their cultural influence, like, right now, I would say. And that's
crazy.
Well, it's you know, with Pitchfork's endorsement, I mean, this has become a new thing for a whole new generation of kids. Like, this is... These records are how they know swans more than any. I mean, I'm sure they probably go back and listen to the old stuff, but this is like...
Do you think it was Pitchfork? Because, like, I know people who, you know, they are just diehard anti-Pitchfork. They freaking loved this record.
Well, I'm not saying, like, but I think most of the people that, like, most of those anti-Pitchfork people were probably Swans fans before the reunion. And
you know who I think gave Swans a big bump is the enemy of the podcast, Anthony Fantano.
Sure.
I'm terrified that our podcast is going to become popular and I'm going to have to deal with that guy. Like, somehow.
How are you going to, like, punching him in the face? I deal with him that way.
Or, like, just like
him in the fucking face.
Like, he's going to be on our podcast or we're going to have some, like, publicized rivalry.
He'll be our peer.
Wait. It'd be get him on the podcast and just talk shit to him the entire time. That would
just made fun of him.
Like, you piece of shit. What the fuck are you doing?
Get off my podcast.
Anthony Fantano is fine. I don't have, like, beef with him. He does what he does, and, like,
I don't understand, like, why he's popular and I'm not.
I agree. I mean, I think you're a lot cooler than Anthony Fantano personally.
Of course I am. I'm a lesbian.
That alone, like, takes
but yeah,
you
Anthony Fantano's thing isn't even. I don't even think his thing is that he's cool. It's like he's nothing. He has no real criticism. No real. I feel like there's. You watch his videos and you get nothing out of it.
You get a bunch of stupid jokes.
Right. You guys have plenty of stupid jokes.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're definitely funnier than Anthony Fantano. I mean, come on.
And you guys, you know, just as much, if not more, substance of anything that you guys talk about in terms of the music.
You think?
Absolutely. Like,
have you listened to our PJ Harvey episode?
I don't know how substantial this podcast is.
I have, but have you heard Anthony Fantano's reviews? It's just like, okay.
Yeah, there's some interesting textures on here. I'm feeling a light six.
You have heard it.
Okay. I've watched some Fantanos in my day.
I always end up just shutting off. It's just like, dude, you're making me not want to listen to this. You're making it sound so boring.
Well, I don't know if I guess Fantano probably did give Swans a push, because I know a lot of people take recommendations from him, but you know, between that and just like the again, like I hate to like even ascribe that much influence to Pitchfork, because like it's just I feel like I'm just feeding into it, but.
Feeding the beasts.
Right. But I mean, I do think they played a big role in, like, sort of introducing younger people to Swans. And I think, like, there are a lot of people who got into Swans through these new records, through the series.
They got Swans fever.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Like, it's amazing how many people like Swans now.
Yeah. Like, I mean... The Seer, even, I would say, is a niche record. Like, I'm surprised, like, it has as... I mean, To Be Kind, Pitchfork said To Be Kind was, like, the 10th best album of the decade so far, or something like that, which is, like, weird
to
me.
We can do better.
Even apart from quality, like, I just can't believe, like, Swans are one of the most, like, important rock bands of the 2010s.
Not only that, To Be Kind reached 37 on the Billboard 200.
Is that right?
Yes.
Holy shit.
It's amazing. I was looking at what climbs the charts just because nobody's buying shit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing because, like, you look at it for the day that it came out, and it's like, you know, two spots above them is like Jason Derulo and then Swans. It's so strange.
Do you think that I think now I'm imagining a version of Uptown Funk with Michael Gira on it. Can you imagine?
That'd be great.
It would be.
But that brings us to the last record we're going to talk about, which is To Be Kind.
Yep.
Their 2014 masterpiece.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If this is a masterpiece, then God
this
is dead.
This is what I mean by Swans could probably use a few more notes. Like, I mean, there are times that if I'm hearing this and I'm like, is the CD skipping? And no, they're just doing that same thing for like 3 minutes. And it's like, oh my God.
How would you describe this album? Like, what genre do you think we're working in here?
This is like a post-rock.
Mm. Post-rock?
I don't know. I'm stupid.
It's post-rock-ish.
It's post-rock adjacent.
Mm. I feel like Swan, like, it's really hard to put this in a narrow category. I know some people call this krautrock, which I think is ridiculous.
No,
just
that's
because
stupid.
It's repetitive does not mean that it's krautrock.
Right.
Yeah, that is stupid.
It's just really repetitive cinematic music, basically.
Cinematic, is that what you said?
Yeah, I think this is very cinematic music.
Okay. So what do you think of this album, Andrew?
I think it's good. I feel like seeing these songs played live whenever we saw them on the Seer tour kind of helped me appreciate it a little bit more.
Mm.
But I feel like it's like I said, I feel like Swans at on this record, it's just like, you know exactly what they're going to do. This is a very predictable
record.
It
is, yes. You are right, absolutely. And especially like with the Seer, you know, this is the Seer part two, basically.
Right. It's funny how quickly they become a parody of themselves.
For real. It is a little bit like, okay, they've found a new niche for themselves or whatever. And I actually hadn't listened to this until this week, just because, I don't know, like, I think I'm a pretty big Swans fan, but I just couldn't muster up excitement for this album when it came out. Like, I didn't even want to listen to it, which is sad, but I just figured it was going to be more of the same, and I don't...
You were right.
Yeah, and the Seer and my father are pretty good, I think, but they're not... They don't get me excited. I mean, I don't need them, you know?
This is a good... I think this is good. I'm not convinced that I'll listen to anything that Michael Jura puts out and not think that it's at least good. Like, this is a very... There are portions of this that I think are really good. It's just... You know, I don't have a week to devote to listening to this bullshit.
Right. At least there's only one 30-minute song on this one, as opposed to the Sears 2.
It's like, you know, they repeat that one bit, you're like, okay, they're going to do that for a bit, and they're probably going to go into a little tremolo picking an oat. They totally do that. Then they're probably going to play some misanthropic white boy funk music, and oat. They totally do it. It's like, you can see everything come a mile away. It's
so
ridiculous.
What about you, Caroline? To Be Kind.
Thumbs down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's not very kind of you.
Yeah, they don't deserve my kindness.
Is this an especially large thumbs down, or just the standard thumbs down?
It's just, I'm just so goddamn tired of Swans.
This is really different.
Did you listen to this one last?
Yeah, I went in order.
Okay, so you were like, oh, God damn it.
Whenever I listen to stuff for the podcast, I always try to go in order.
Okay.
Yeah, and so by the end of this week, I was praying. I was praying for death. And I was just like, oh, God, another goddamn Swans album where they're, you know what? It's different, but they're doing nothing interesting still. You can change it up and not be at all interesting.
Right.
And, oh, God.
It's
just the culmination of everything I put myself through this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you really don't like Swans, this really is like the...
It was
the amazing
hell.
Finale of just... Oh my God, I can't imagine how awful this must have been for you.
It was bad.
Well, you know, like, and again, I like swans, but I do feel like releasing two-hour albums in a row, it's kind of like, bro, you don't got to do that.
No one likes you at this point.
You don't got to do that, you know?
Well, you say no one likes you this much, but you say, people love this record.
They do. They do. Probably even more than the Seer, from what I can tell.
And they're all wrong.
Don't you love that when everyone is wrong?
Yeah, isn't it amazing when everyone is stupid except me?
It's astounding.
It's great. It's the best feeling in the world, really.
It's incredible how often that happens.
I know.
Yeah. Believe me, I know.
Driving.
Mm. Oh yeah.
You should drive listening to this record. This is a great driving album.
For sure. I won't. You know what I listen to when I'm driving? And seriously, I would say 60% of the time when I'm driving, I am listening to My War.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good driving record.
It is.
I don't feel like it's a good driving record. It is a great record, though.
It's one of the best.
So, Caroline, you've listened to Swans all week.
Yeah. And this is not my first time at the Swans Rodeo. Some of these albums I've listened to plenty of times.
Sure. You listened to probably 9 combined hours of Swans this week.
Yep.
Did you gain any appreciation for Swans over the course of this?
If anything, I gained less.
Yeah.
I lost appreciation for Swans.
Okay. Did you learn anything?
I learned that I really fucking hate Swans.
That existing hurts.
Existing hurts.
Yeah. Life is garbage. Everyone is horrible.
Michael Jira has a big boner and he's really angry about it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's a problem. Just, it's fine. He has that, what, there's that one song... He talks about, like, you know, looking at your naked body next to me. I'm just like, no thanks. I'm good.
What is this, Jason Derulo?
I don't want Michael Gira. I don't want to think about Michael Gira looking upon my nudity.
But Caroline, sex, God, sex.
No.
But are you denying him that power? He wants that power because it feels good.
He doesn't deserve it. He deserves nothing.
That is the best lyric of all time. I want power because it feels good. Right on, Mike. I get you.
Put that on your tombstone.
Yeah, Mike, you get it.
Power because it feels good.
Oh, God. All right.
They're a great fucking band.
This is a great band, for sure. Yeah. So
if
that's...
If you are the worst, and you have terrible taste.
I feel like this is the most focused an episode with me has ever been.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think our Residence episode was pretty pretty on point. No?
I guess. It varied. It was definitely more on point than Sparks.
All right, so that's Swans. I like them. Andrew likes them. Caroline does not. That is the point of I Hate Music Month, though. You know, and I guess it's only fair that you realized you hate Swans even more than you did previously.
Yeah, I'm very curious to know what you're going to... feel at the end of next week.
See, next week Caroline is picking another band for me. This is not a band I outright despise, but I do find them aggressively mediocre. So we'll see. Maybe I'll grow to like them over the course of this week. Probably not.
Maybe you'll grow to hate them.
Maybe I'll grow to hate them even. We'll see. That will be for next week. Andrew, as always, thank you for lending your time and insight into this show.
Yeah, I want to say to all the post-rock fans, I'm sorry for getting post-rock's history wrong, and hopefully on the next Swans tour, we all three of us can go and catch him.
Andrew's never even listened to fucking Bark Psychosis. What an asshole.
I've listened to them. I just don't know what, like, they're a stupid band. How am I gonna know what year they came out and shit? Who cares about Parks Psychosis?
89, man.
Yeah, Parks Psychosis. That was when Hex came out.
Yeah, 89. Pretty sure.
I don't even think that's their best record, but I haven't heard them in years because who fucking cares about Bark Psychosis?
That's true.
Yeah, kind of.
No one cares about Bark Psychosis. I mean,
let's exactly.
You know what band's good though? Bark Psychosis.
Disco Inferno.
Gastro del Sol. Gastro del Sol. They're a good band.
Disco Inferno is good.
Yeah, they're good.
Disco Inferno is all right.
I need to listen to some Gastro del Sol though.
Yeah, I like.
That's Jim O'Rourke, right? That was his band.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck him.
Little Jimmy O'Rourke.
Jimmy O'Rourke. All right, I guess we're done.
Yep.
Goodbye. To
my closing statement is fuck swans.
All right, you've more than capably made that statement.
I know.
It's time to go now.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Swans are great. Listen to them.
You never have to listen to swans again, Caroline.
Thank God. I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
I mean, I'm planning on never listening to Captain Beefheart again, so that's
You don't know what could happen.
I think he makes some of the most annoying music ever made.
Yeah, I feel that way about Swans.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
We can
the perfect foil.
We can get on with our lives now.
Yep, yay.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
See you.